We're getting into our Christmas season, and for the next 2-3 weeks, I want to speak three messages that are all going to link into Christmas, and I really believe they're going to touch your heart and transform your spirit. So can we pray today, and then we're going right into this. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you for all that you are doing. You're wonderful in all your ways, Lord. I pray multiplication and increase in every single way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. So today we're going to talk about compassion. And you know, if you're around Vibe, if you're around what we do, we absolutely love compassion because we realize we are meant to be people that will show compassion, show love, basically show love. And the reason why I love Christmas is it feels like there's a greater appetite for love. In fact, you could say it like this. Love is in the air. For some of you, maybe even watching today, for some of your friends, there are going to be some rings on the way because engagements happen so much at Christmas time because there's just this love, this spirit of generosity. Some guys get the wallets out, they get the cash out, and they buy that loved one a ring because they say, she's worth it. So that can be the case. For others, you might be part of what we're doing and you're bringing some stuff for our hampers. And I want to say, by the way, there's a list online. There's donations on our website. There's a list on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever you need. I want you to check out that list because it's going to show you the items that we need. And we need hundreds of them. We can get lots of things, but then there are just tea and coffee and, you know, drinks and biscuits, things like that. Then we need hundreds of each item. In fact, 400 of each item. And it's really super costly if we get them. But if you grab one or two in your groceries over this next 2-3 weeks, it's perfect. The cutoff date is the 18th of December. I'd love to be a part of that. If you can't and you're further afield, why not send us a donation? £10 can make an incredible difference. £15, whatever you want to give, but please do that and know that's going to make a difference. So we're doing our hampers. That's how we show our love. I mean, we put love into the hampers. We put food into the hampers. We put a lot of love and just us into the hampers. And then when we give them, we send them out with love. And people receive them with love. There's something about this time of year, there's high compassion levels and people tend to have more grace for each other. Maybe you're going around the town, you're more generous with people. You smile possibly, you invite someone. I mean, maybe there's someone you know is not having Christmas dinner this year. So you'll invite them to your house for Christmas dinner. I mean, there's just so many different things that God wants to do. And there's something about this time of year where we get, I don't know, our love on and we say to ourselves, I'm willing to spend, I'm willing to give some money away, I'm willing to give some time away, and no better represented than our presence and the way we give to people. Now, I know there may be some people out today that says, well, I'm only giving because they got me. But I want to say to you, let's be people of compassion. Let's be generous people. Here's what I wrote down. Compassion literally changes society and culture. You see, whether you're in South Africa or you're in Armagh or wherever you find yourself, and make sure to let us know where you're watching from, you can make a difference anywhere. And sometimes we say to ourselves, unless I got money, I can't make a difference. I'm telling you, what makes a difference better than anything else is your love and compassion. Maybe it's a cup of tea for someone. Maybe it's a smile for someone. Maybe it's a conversation with someone. Maybe it's, come, let me buy you a coffee. Maybe come spend some time with me. You have no idea what that deposit of compassion can represent in somebody's life. It can save a life, transform a life, project a life in the sense of they go on and do incredible things that just enthuses them, inspires them, transforms them. The power of love and compassion mixed into somebody's life through you as a believer in Christ, even as a non-believer, can make all the difference in someone's world. And Jesus was full of compassion. I want us to read Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. We're going to read down to 34. And we're going to see the life of Jesus in this small account in the Gospels of how Jesus transforms some people's lives. And it all comes through compassion. Let's read it. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They're crying out for help. I mean, there's just something about crying out for help. Sometimes we forget to do that, and then when no one helps us, we complain. Come on, guys. There are people around you who want to help. We want to help. Maybe you need a hamper this year. Don't let pride get in the way. Message us and say, hey, I could do with one of those. It would be a real blessing for me, and it would be our delight to give you one. So please let us know. Or maybe you know somebody else. It says this, the crowd rebuked them. The crowd didn't like it. People don't like it when you cry for help, but Jesus does. And it says, be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do? Jesus says, come on, I know there's a whole bunch of things you could do. And we tend to have this idea of, I know how to fix you if you just do this, this, and that. Come on, we can all be guilty of that. But Jesus asked the question. And he says, what would you like me to do for you? And he says, Lord, they asked, we want our sight. Don't want $1 million? Not even really interested in food? Don't need new clothes? Don't need new car? Not interested in husband or wife? You know, all those things can be great. Not looking at any husbands or wives. Not looking at girlfriend. Not looking at boyfriend. We are looking our sight. We want to see, Lord. We want to see. What an incredible thing to ask for. What an incredible thing to ask for. Verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them. Compassion. Notice that word. And he touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Wow. They were following before. They cried for mercy. He touches their lives. They continue to follow him. Is that not the way of the kingdom? You know, we cry for mercy. He touches our lives. We follow him. When we're desperate, we cry for mercy. Maybe we're not desperate. We cry for mercy. We got someone around us needs help. We cry for mercy. We're in communication with our King. We're in communication with our God. We know he has compassion in us. And our deep desire is, as new believers in Christ, if you put your life in Jesus, is we show this compassion to the world around us. And this is what I want us to take a few moments and talk about today. What would it look like as we, over this next few weeks, begin to deposit more and more and more of ourselves through our time, through our money, through our smiles, through our activities, into compassion, into that outwardness, outward work of our hearts, into compassion to transform people's lives? What would it look like? And today, as we look at the story, I want us to see what Jesus did, and maybe it gives us some clues of what we could do. Okay, so number one, Jesus was different. Well, you know this. Jesus was different. Watch this. Problems led to compassion. Jesus had compassion when he saw the problems. You see, here's what I've realized about problems. They are coming. Maybe you've realized the same thing. You got a problem this week. You've got a problem. You have a problem. You are a problem. But they're coming, problems. And you have a decision to make. Do they lead me to compassion or to complaining? Do they lead me to compassion or to complaining? Maybe it's compassion towards yourself. Maybe it's compassion to somebody else because they're complaining or they've got a problem. Or is it leading you to complaining? Moaning about yourself, complaining about yourself, or complaining about someone else? You know, we do a great job sometimes about turning situations into big and bad and worse. We do a great job on that. And you know what the vehicle for that is? Complaining. We just begin to complain. Oh, they're such a nightmare. Oh my gosh. Oh, the devil's really in this. We just begin to complain. And I want to challenge you with this. We are here to speak a better word. God has put something inside of us. God has put the Holy Spirit inside of us. There's a fire burning inside of you. You've got to let your light shine. And your light changes everything. Jesus saw the problems. He wasn't affected by the problems in the sense of he didn't become a complainer. He became a compassionate giver. He became a person that says, I will show compassion on you. It will remove your problems. Compassion beats problems. Compassion takes away problems. See, Jesus had compassion on the man, and we have a choice to make every single day. But what we feed ourselves determines the results. And this is where we're mindful of what we say, what we do, who we hang around with, what we're feeding into our lives, because that will dictate who we are. There's something about when you get around people that are just generous, it starts to birth generosity in your heart. When you get around people that are just talking differently, you start to talk differently. This is why if you find yourself in a group of friends where one starts to gossip, you'll find yourself gossiping too. If you find yourself in that scenario, what you should do is not just run away, but if you can't, upgrade the conversation. Yeah, but, and then change it to something better. Yeah, but change it to something greater. Or that's not what we're going to do because complaining, gossiping never got anybody anywhere. In fact, it's just toxic to our bodies. It's toxic to our souls. It's toxic to our minds. No, we're going to change our conversation. And we're going to go realize, you know what? I'm going to draw on the love of Christ that's in my life, and I'm going to show compassion. We are going to be people that when we face problems, it's going to lead us to compassion. And for Jesus, the results were this. It transformed problems. He transformed problems with faith and hope. You see, these guys shout out to him because they'd heard of what he'd done before. Jesus meets problems with miracles. Jesus meets problems with faith. Jesus meets problems with love and compassion. And suddenly, problems have to budge. Let's not make it that problems change us. Let's make it that we change problems. Amen? come on, let's be real today. And I know what you're facing. I know what you're going through, or have an idea, because I faced my own once, and we can't out-talk it and we can't outrun it, but we face it, but we face it in the right spirit. And we face it with hope and faith because we know that God is with us. Number two, Jesus was different. And here's why. His reputation caused people to look for him. Wow. You see, it's the reputation of Jesus. It's that they've heard of this man who shows compassion in the midst of problems. And so the word starts to spread like wildfire. And wherever he is, there's no internet, there's no Twitter, there's no Facebook, but wherever he is, people start to talk. He's over there. He's over here. He's there. You got to be here for this time. He says he's going to be by Galilee by 2 p.m. And so the crowds begin to follow him. And crowds follow you for two reasons, either because you're notorious or because you're incredible. And Jesus was incredible, maybe to some people notorious. But I wonder what's going on in our lives, because people are attracted to compassion. People will follow kindness. People will come around those that they know have a positive reputation or a negative reputation. But if we've neither, then we're not getting anywhere. And so I want to say to you today, what is the reputation that's on your life? And your reputation absolutely can be spoken by other people, but let it be told by you and by your actions and by your deeds. Jesus had a reputation from some as that he's this and he's that, but the reputation that he was in control of, the one that he could set for himself, was one of love, compassion, grace, acceptance, sinners, prostitutes, the tax collectors. I love them all. I want to see their lives transformed. See, Christ followed him. People will always follow love or they'll always follow fear. There's only two real ways that motivate people. And we want to be the people that bring others to love. And what comes from us is love. And all that we've got is love, because all that Jesus has with love, he had no money. He had no inheritance in terms of earthly inheritance. He had no home. He had no, like stuff that he could give people. It said that all that he had was himself. All that he had was love, but love transformed the world. Love was what drove him to the cross. Love's what held him on the cross. Love's what got him to the cross, because some people don't want love, but let us be known for love. What a reputation. Come on, this Christmas, let us be known for love. This Christmas, this year, let us be known for love because of the work that God's doing in our lives and because of what we are sowing back into the world around us. You see, you've got the attitude of, if it's from fear, you better follow me. I mean, that's how you get people. You just come follow me, and they're following because it fits into their narrative and it's hate, or they're following you because you've made them follow you. But think of a couple in love, and they go for a walk in the forest, or they go for a walk. I mean, no one's going under duress. Everybody's going because they want to be there. And if you can, make the walk longer. Make the time go slower, you know? If we can, let no one know where we are, because we just love to follow each other. I love to follow you. You love to follow me. This is who we are in Christ. This is why people love Jesus, because he was a man full of love. And I say this, what about that for a reputation? To be known for compassion. I mean, what do people know you for? What will people know you for today? What will they know you for tomorrow? Let it be compassion. They can know you for many different things. And again, we said some of how they know you is out of your control, but let it be compassion. I mean, some people have been watching Songs of Praise over this last few weeks, and they've been coming up to us, and they've been sending me, they've been sending Ian. Guys, incredible work. I mean, isn't it amazing that 3 minutes that we didn't even know was going to happen, that it was going to happen, that 3 minutes has begun to affect people's lives that may not have really known us, but now they know us as men of compassion, men that will serve and help, men of Jesus, men of love. Come on, that's the reputation that I want. But in the midst of this story, and we're going to tangent just for a moment, there was two blind men. And I love these blind men because they want to teach us something that we possibly need to know today. They were blind. They couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't see his miracles. They didn't even know what he looked like. They couldn't see where he was. But they heard. They heard. They heard. They heard. And when they heard of what he did, and they heard what he could do, and they heard his voice, they may not have been able to see because it wasn't possible for them, but these two blind men said, we need what he can give. We need him. You see, they heard about his love and compassion. And I want to say this, that people sometimes are not going to see your love and compassion. They may have to hear it. But either way, make it about compassion. Don't make it about fear. You see, they couldn't see, but they heard. And then their response was this, we're going to shout. We're going to shout. And I tell you what, I think for a lot of us, we have both seen and heard. But my question is, are we shouting of the goodness of God? Are we shouting it from the rooftops? Are we shouting of like, yes, he's been so good to me. Remember, the crowd rebuked them. And what did they do? They shouted all the more. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And there are people that are shouting for help today. And we have the answer. And it's time to get over our fear and get into our love, which God has given us, and make an everlasting difference in people's lives. I was chatting to my friend Sid this week from South Africa. You may or may not know Sid, but if you don't know him, you're missing out on a spectacular person. He told me from March 2021 to November 2022, he's seen over 2,300 people come to faith in Jesus in South Africa, with over 10% of those guys following in discipleship groups, getting baptized and going on with the things of God. That's hundreds of people getting baptized. That's hundreds of people following on in their faith that he actively knows about, and thousands of people that have given their lives to Christ, because he steps out in love every single day. Because he steps out, and now that he stepped out in love, his reputation has been compassion and love. If you could find Sid, he'll help you to change your life. If you could find Sid, he'll point you to Jesus and you'll have your sins forgiven. Come on, who are we shouting? Who are we representing? I don't want to represent myself. I want to represent him. Amen? And when we're out there, are we quiet or loud? Now, again, this is not about volume, but for these men this day, they couldn't see him, but they could hear him and they shouted. And they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when people tried to shut them up, they said, no, we're going to shout all the more. Son of David, have mercy on us. And I want to say, guys, come on, we have something to shout about. But I don't want it to just be theory. I want us to be people that will shout. Are we shouting about his love? This Christmas, let's make it about that. You see, for Jesus, people with problems sought him out and they followed him because of his great compassion. Two more. Jesus was different. He touched the broken areas of people's lives. And this is where really true compassion starts to happen. Because it's not enough just to say it or look like it or even talk about it. It's got to get to action. It's got to get to we're touching things. I watched this incredible YouTube a few months ago. If you've not seen it, look up Crossroads Church Horse. I think that'll probably find it on YouTube. And it's live in the auditorium one Father's Day a couple of years ago. This church in America brought in this horse whisperer, breaker guy, horse guru, and he breaks a horse live in the auditorium. It's incredible. But at one point he says, this horse has been badly abused. But the only way for me to prove my love to this horse is for me to touch the same wounds. But I'm not here to damage him anymore. I'm here to prove them. All I want to do is heal him and love him. Wow. And guys, it's the same for us. Come on, Vibe. We have a love inside of us that's affecting every aspect of our lives. But this love has to come through to our touch. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's a pat on the back. Maybe it's a shake of the hand. Maybe it's a laying on hands and praying. I don't know what it is, but in some way, shape or form, you've got to get into the wounds, not to make them worse, but to make them better. Not to scare the person, but to show the person that you're real and you're full of love, and the wounds, what one man's hand used to hurt you, this man's hand's going to heal you. My words are going to bring life. My actions are going to bring healing to you. I'm a person of compassion. I'm a person of love. Wow. And so Jesus literally touched their eyes. He had to get into that mess. He had to get into that dirt. He had to touch their eyes physically, but it was that physical touch that changed them, because we're physical people. You know that. I think they say something that it takes 7 forms of touch to let someone know that they're truly welcome. And that's why sometimes you see people shaking hands at the same time, they'll hold their hand and then they'll give them a pat on the back, and they reckon in around 6 or 7 touches, you start to feel like, whoa, really at home. It's just incredible. There's something about that touch. Sometimes people are really nervous about touch because of what's happened in the past. So I say with wisdom, be mindful of that. Some people, because of negative experiences, are very wary to touch. But what they need is they need you to prove that your touch is safe and that could take time. And so, guys, we have something. Jesus had your reputation. He had proven himself before. He had showed love before. And on this day, in verse 44, it said Jesus had compassion, or 34 had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. What a moment. They'd heard of his compassion. Now they've felt his compassion. Now they can see. Wow. Maybe there's something in this for us. People's got to hear about it. They've got to feel it. They've got to see it. It's got to be. If it's going to be compassion, if it's going to be us, if we're going to be like Jesus, this is what they're going to have to do. They're going to hear it. They're going to feel it. They're going to see it. It's going to affect them. It's going to affect their lives. And so compassion leads to miracles. I want to tell you a story I heard about a few years ago. It's about the soup kitchen. Soup kitchen in America. And every year or every day, the guys would go out, and or maybe every so often they'd go out and ask this guy. Homeless guy lived under the bridge. For 15 years, they asked him. He would never come. And then one day, this new intern comes to church. It's about 16, 17 years later. And she goes, hey, has anyone ever asked the guy under the bridge who's homeless? No one ever says anything. But lo and behold, a minute or two later, he comes into the soup kitchen. They're like, what? A few years go by, he's been to Bible college, he gives his life to Jesus, he's now a pastor in that church. It was compassion. But it was compassion, but there was timing attached, there was the person attached. It wasn't just, we're going to fix you. Anyway, sometimes we're going to someone's house and we're like, you need this, this, and that. Or I read a review, you need this, it'll change your life. And we tell people what they need. But what did Jesus do? He said, what can I do for you? See, compassion always starts by listening and asking questions. It always does. Sometimes we go in and we want to fix people. We want to just, I know what you need. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. They try to do it to us. We try to do that. We all love to become fixers because it's quicker, it's easier, and it gets to the point. But sometimes it's not really about getting to the point. It's about proving and building trust and making connection and about relationship. And do you know what? Once that relationship's formed, everything else will be taken care of. Come on, we are people of compassion. But we're not dealing with projects, we're dealing with people. And so we take that compassion and we be like Jesus. We ask questions. We're sensitive. We're open. We realize it's about listening, it's about touch. It's about actions. But we realize this thing is more than just, I'm going in to fix you. I realize this is more like, I've got money, just take it. Come on, just take it. Don't be prideful. No, it's more complicated than this. It's bigger than this, but it's about relationship. And so compassion, relationship. And every great relationship's founded in listening. Every great relationship's about answers. If it's not, it's about dictation. And I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm going to fix you. And that's more of a leader subordinate role. And that's not what people want. They want relationship connected with love. It's you come, I come. We're connected with love. This is about love. This is the compassion that we have. Or I want to tell you one right bang up to date. A few weeks ago, we invited a few of the guys down to our Alpha course. And one of the guys was John, incredible guy. I hope you get to meet him someday. Maybe I get him to share his testimony. And after about 10 weeks, we got chatting the other week. And he says, guys, you know what? I need Jesus. And he asked Jesus into his life. He'd spent 10 weeks with us. He had felt the compassion. He had sensed it. He had felt it. He had heard it. He had watched it. We talked to him. We'd spent time with them. We didn't ask him about Jesus every single week. We give him space. And then he said, well, how do I get this thing? What do I need to do? We pray with him. Can I tell you the fallout? Because compassion leads to miracles, is that he gives his life to Jesus. He had put in 4 months ago a house move because he's living in an environment where you don't want to be living in all of the time. You want to get to your own personal space. Well, that week following, he got into his own personal space. He had everything he needed. And the one last thing that he needed was a fridge. And again, if you know what we do, and especially what Ian does, we get donations all of the time. But we very rarely get electrical donations. We very rarely, you already know what I'm going to tell you. But we very rarely get donations. It's usually beds or furniture or food or clothes. But that's usually it. Well, this week, the one thing that John needed was a fridge. What was the one thing that came in? A fridge. And there we are. In less than a week, he's had sins forgiven, found a home in Christ. He found a home here, a much better home than before. And he got all of his needs met because a fridge is what he needed. I'm telling you what, compassion leads to miracles. And if we will be people of compassion, we're going to see God work through us in ways that you cannot believe. So number four, Jesus was different and we are different. I want to say to you that Jesus is looking to work through your life and that he wants to work through you to allow his will to work through our hearts. Would you be ready for that? would we be different? Because he's different. And I state this, if you've given your life to Christ, then you're a child of God. And we got to understand that from the very beginning, from the very top, God's the top, love is flowing, compassion is flowing. I mean, the earth was out former void, and then God's love filled it. And then out of God's love, he filled the universe with, or filled the planet with us. And then out of his love, he equipped us and he blessed us and he follows us. And then sin comes, and out of his love, he sends his son. And out of his love, he sends the Holy Spirit. And out of his love, he gives us forgiveness today. And so you've received love if you've given your life to Christ. And he says, you already have it going in. Let it flow out. See, compassion is not something you have to find. You already have it. Compassion is not something you have to go and stir up and try to find over here and there. And when you get these few things in, you're able to do it. You know, like compassion and money. If I get enough money, I can be compassionate. If I get enough time, I can be compassionate. No, you have it inside of you. It's naturally flowed into you if you've got Christ. Naturally, it's just in you. In fact, I'll say this, even if you do not know Jesus yet, because God made each and every one of us, it's there. The love of God has been imprinted into our lives. We have to find Jesus, and we need Jesus because we need our sins forgiven. And so finally, here's my challenge. Could we keep compassion high all year round? Maybe for you, it's not a high value. It's not a high thing. Come on, let's make it high today. Let's make it something that we do. It will radically transform not only their lives, but yours. I'm telling you, a heart full of compassion is a healthy heart, is a healthy life. It will change you. But can we challenge ourselves to say we want to do this all the time? It's not just a Christmas thing. It's not a puppy just for Christmas. It's not compassion just for Christmas. We're going to make a difference in people's lives. We're not doing it because we want to be fixers. We're not doing it because I'm just trying to get you sorted. This is who I am. My identity is compassion. It's what flows from me, just like Jesus. And so compassion flows from God, and it has done from Eden, and it has done from the cross, and it still does into your heart. And so I'll say this. The closer we are to God, the more we become like him, and the easier it is for compassion to flow in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, in our dreams, in our plans. Compassion changes our society, our world, and our culture. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I pray today for everybody that's listening, and I want to challenge us for compassion. But I also want to say this, if we don't know you, then we would put our trust in you. Jesus, I pray today that if we've never had our sins forgiven, that we would say yes to Jesus right now. It seems so good to be true, too good to be true, and it is, but it is true. And so I pray, Lord, right now, for anyone that needs to say yes, they say yes. And Jesus says, if I hear that yes, I respond. Sins forgiven, life turned around, life forever changed. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, come today in those hearts that need it, in those hearts that have drifted, in those hearts that have never come to you before. Come on, be bold, guys. Don't hold back. And I pray for those that have made a commitment to you, those that are following after you. Come on, what are we known for? What's our reputation? How do we show compassion? What's flowing from our lives? How are we representing you, Jesus? I tell you this, it's not something we stir up. It's something we let out. It is in us. It is through us. The grace and the compassion of Jesus is in our lives. And so I say, just shine and let it out. And so I say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Maybe we need to show compassion to ourselves. Receive it in Jesus' name. Maybe we've been holding back compassion because of a bit of unforgiveness. Let it go in Jesus' name. Receive healing. But I pray, Jesus, would you come and move in every heart, in every life, in your precious name. Amen.